I don't know how many of you have ever learned Maseches Bikurim, but if you try to envision the scene that's described therein, it is a pretty amazing scene. Jews come from all over the land of Israel, from all corners of Eretz Yisrael, carrying clusters of grapes and figs and pomegranates, and it's in these baskets that are decorated very beautifully, rich and poor alike, carrying these baskets on their shoulders. They march together a whole parade, and they're accompanied by musical instruments, because it's that big a deal. You want musical instruments accompanying this parade that's going through Eretz Yisrael, going toward Yerushalayim. And as they pass through each city, what happens? The citizens of the city, and not just any citizens, the most chashuv of the people in the city, the judges, the politicians, the elder statesmen, all the people from the city come out and greet the parade of fruit carriers. They all go to cheer on the people who are carrying fruit. There is literally no parallel in all of Torah to this kind of scene. The closest we have is probably Simchas Beis HaShoeva. You learn Masechah Sukkah, at the end of Masechah Sukkah, description of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But at least over there, the number of people that were actively participating, that were really putting on the show, was limited to the Chashuvim, who happened to know how to juggle seven things, which are eight things, eight. That's what the Guinness Book of World Records, I think, is seven. But Mishal Ara Simcha Sveis HaShoeva Lara Simcha Miyamav. In Ben Simcha Sveis HaShoeva, the Gemara says they would juggle eight things. But it's limited to the number of people who actually drew the water. Such massive amounts of people doing a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Carrying the, bring the bikurim with such fanfare. It's not really our style. It's not the way we do mitzvahs in general. Why all the excitement over a couple of fruits that are worth a few dollars? They happen to have been the first fruits that grew that year. And as if the exaggerated celebration described in the Chumash is not enough, Chazal go even further, and they highlight how important the mitzvah of Bikurim is. Bereshis bara elokim, the Medrash Rabbim, Bereshis Rabbim, Bereshis bara elokim, b'shvil mitzvahs Bikurim, shenemar bereshis. You know, the Medrash has a lot of things, a lot of drushos on the word bereshis. Why did God create the world? B'shvil Yisrael shenikra bereshis. Okay, I can take that. For the Jewish people, b'shvil Torah shenikra bereshis. Okay, that makes sense. Torah, it's the blueprint of everything. B'shvil Bikurim? God created the whole world for Bikurim? Shenikra bereshis? That it said, shenemar bereshis, that it says about Bikurim, Bikurei admascha baralukim esa shemayim v'asa aretz, that Hashem created esa shemayim v'asa aretz because of Bikurim, the world with the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the wildlife, continents, oceans, everything. All for Bikurim. What's so special about this mitzvah? Furthermore, once we have a mitzvah that's this special, that's this unique, that's this great, you would imagine that the reward for the mitzvah would match the greatness of the mitzvah and how much we emphasize the mitzvah. Rashi tells us in the name of Medrash Tanchuma, what's the reward for bringing Bikurim? Baskol Mevarachto Hevesu Bikurim Hayom Tishana L'shana Haba. That you brought Bikurim now, the great reward is you'll get to bring Bikurim next year also. Imagine you take out the garbage and you say to your mom, okay, so what reward do I get? You get to take it out again tomorrow. The reward is that you get to do the same thing, the same schlepping of fruits again the next year. Okay, we have a concept, mitzvah, gereres, mitzvah. Doing one mitzvah will lead you to another mitzvah. What is it about Bikurim, though? And finally, third question, Menachem Zemba quotes from the Arizal that the mitzvahs Bikurim is a tikkun for the Ched HaMaraglim. And it's evident from the Mishnah, really. The Mishnah in Bikurim highlights the Te'ena, the Eshkol, the Rimon. Those are the exact same fruits that the Meraglim brought back from Eretz Yisrael, speaking the terrible things about Eretz Yisrael, based on using those very fruits as the props. And now we use those same fruits as for the mitzvah. But beyond that, beyond the fact that they both have to do with fruits, is there, what exactly is the match between Bikurim and the Ched HaMeraglim? Why is it that Bikurim is the way we address and counter the problem of the Ched HaMeraglim? So my 12th grade Rabbi Baruch Simon, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, in his Sefer Imre Baruch, points out that the Al Shech HaKadosh, develops the theme of Olam Chesed Yibaneh. God created the world in order to do chesed with people. And our job is to recognize that chesed, and that in turn brings about more chesed. The more we realize the chesed that's being done with us, the more we go out of our way to look for and recognize and acknowledge chesed that's being done with us, whether it be by other people, whether it be by friends, relatives, or even by God himself, it will promote more chesed. In fact, Rashi in Bereishis teaches us, at first God didn't bring rain. Umatam lo himtir. Why didn't God make it rain, says Rashi? Lefisha adam ein la'avodas adama, ve'ein makir b'tovas v'shal geshamim. If there was going to be no one there to acknowledge the rain and to say thank you for the rain, then there's no purpose for rain. Everything good that God puts here is so that we can recognize that God did something good. The existence of the wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon, these beautiful places that you see, they exist so that we can see them. They exist so that we can appreciate them, and we can appreciate beauty, and we can appreciate Ein Sayer Kelokeinu, that there's no artist like God, and that the majesty and the grandeur of his creation. When we experience material success, that's when we recognize where bracha comes from. We turn to God and we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of the bracha, and that's what Bikurim is. Material success, we're finally, our fruits, all the work that we put into our fields and our orchards, is paying off, things are finally growing. And we immediately take that and we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yochanan Levavitz in Sefer Chachma Moser explains the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Yud that Hanosin Matan L'Chaveru Tzarech Lahodiyam. More in a few places in Shas, that if a person gives a matana to somebody else, you have to let him know that you gave him a matana. And it seems like a strange requirement. You say, by tzedakah, it's the opposite. When you give tzedakah, you have to go out of your way to remain anonymous. That's the highest level of tzedakah, is to remain anonymous. And yet, when you give a matana, you go out of your way not to remain anonymous. You want to make sure that you recognize why. Because a matana is about showing a person that I value them, showing a person that I love them, showing a person that I'm thinking of them, that I care about them. Tzedakah is about providing a person with what they need and just making sure that they're not embarrassed to receive it. When I give a matana to somebody, it's not because they need my assistance. It's not because their lives weren't complete, they didn't have something, and now they needed this, and now they can be satisfied. No, I just want to demonstrate love and value in the relationship. And if he doesn't know who gave it to him, the gift hasn't accomplished anything. It's the equivalent of gezel. Hashem gives us a lot of gifts, but if we don't recognize that they all come from him, it's the equivalent of gezel. The point is that it's supposed to be a reciprocal relationship. He gives us a gift, we're supposed to recognize that gift as payment for the gift, and that creates that relationship. And when we fail to recognize it, it's like gezel. That's why the Gemara Maseches Brachos, when it talks about being nenem in olam hazeh below bracha, if a person gets hana'ah from this world without a bracha, it's as if he's violating me'ilah, which is a form of gezel. It's stealing from kachin. It's stealing from that which belongs to Hashem. What do you mean stealing? God gave it to me. Yeah, but he gave it to me with the deal that I'm going to acknowledge that gift, that I'm going to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. So the problem with the Meraglim was that God not only showed them a beautiful land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went completely out of his way to make sure that they had a smooth experience in scouting out the land. He distracted the inhabitants throughout the length of the mission so the Meraglim could scout uninhibited, because everyone else in the land is too busy burying the dead. Their failing was in not seeing that. They didn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. They couldn't see the brachas that Hashem was giving them at that time. How are we misake in such a blatant, astonishing lack of Hakaras HaTov? So we're misake in that through Mitzvahs Bikurim. Because that's what Mitzvahs Bikurim is about. Hakaras HaTov, in an overt way, in a public way, we demonstrate it through the streets of every city of Israel, showing that we recognize the goodness HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us. The Medrash wasn't speaking allegorically. when it said that the world was created for the sake of Bikurim. The world was literally created so God can do good and we can appreciate that good. It's actually the purpose of creation. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do things for us and we could recognize it. And that's what Bikurim is. It's in the first few words of the Torah. The Midah, there's no Midah that's more worthy of celebration than the Midah that keeps God's bracha coming, that keeps the faucet of bracha on. And what keeps the faucet of bracha on? When we recognize it, the praise, the music, it's all appropriate. Because this is the most critical message. And what's the reward? The reward is continued blessing. You'll be able to do it again next year. I think as we draw to the end of a year, we have, every year there's a tendency to focus on the negative at the end of the year. All the people who died this year, all the people who are sick this year, all the challenges. I think it's a very good idea to focus on the positive. To focus on how many of our blessings remain intact. How many of us still have all of the things that we need, all of the things that we value, and maybe we don't appreciate enough and show enough appreciation for. When we express HaKadosh HaTov HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the best way to guarantee continued blessing. That's the best way to guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep on giving it. You know, Rav Huttner, in one of his letters, points out that it's very hard. People find it very hard to say thank you. They find it very hard to give hodah. And he says, probably the reason is that people have a tremendous desire to be independent and to express that independence. You know, if you walk into someone's house and you're like, you're very thirsty, like, would you like a drink? Your immediate instinct, even if you're thirsty, even if you really would like a drink, no, I'm fine. Why would you do that? They want to give you a drink. Why would you say you're fine? Because you have this instinct to just say, I can take care of myself. I don't need your help. It's not that you don't want to trouble. You know it's no trouble for them to go to their fridge and take a drink out and pour your drink. It's not like a big deal. We have this instinct to want to show, you know, this great level of independence, constant independence. Never admit that we need somebody else. And in Hebrew, Rav Huttner explains, the word for thankfulness and the word for admitting are the same, hoda'a. Because when we say thank you, we're admitting that we need you. We're admitting that we can't do it on our own. And that's much of what this time of year is about. Recognizing the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us whatever they are, whatever material blessings they may be, whatever spiritual blessings they may be, whatever opportunities we may have, our health, our families, our friends, whatever those blessings are. Recognize it and say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The field of positive psychology, one of the big yesodos in the field of positive psychology is a focus on gratitude. That when a person focuses on gratitude, like makes an effort to show gratitude, it changes his own attitude, it changes his own approach to his daily life, and it just makes him a happier person. They have what they call gratitude journals, where people, before they go to sleep at night, should just think of what they're thankful for, just write down three things that you're thankful for. Okay, whether you actually do that or not, but the idea to be looking for gratitude. I guess the more modern version of it, there is I have a friend, David Mark, who's an AP psychology teacher in DRS. He started hashtag gratitude in DRS, where you tweet something you're grateful for, and you hashtag your gratitude in DRS, and then he gave him, I don't know if he gave extra credit or whatever, and it became like a thing. And then, like, I noticed my 11th graders would, like, say thank you to everybody for everything. And teachers were saying, like, yeah, the kids are, like, thanking me for their homework. And, like, you know, we're like, thank you for grading my test on time. Thank you for that. Like, and it changes the whole atmosphere. It changes the whole avira of a place when people are constantly looking for good and people are constantly looking for positivity. I remember when I was in high school, it was cool to be angry. Like if you walked around the halls with a scowl on your face, then you're doing all right, you know. Then you're okay, especially if there's a varsity jacket on your body and a scowl on your face. Then you're like that, and it's like that's unhealthy. That is not a good culture. A lot of times in yeshivas, there's a culture of discontent. Why this isn't good enough? Why that's not good enough? And that's like, because I need this and I need that, and I'm holding up this madrega, and so there develops a culture of discontent, and that's a poisonous culture to develop. And the way to change that, and the way to create a positive atmosphere, is by looking for things to appreciate. And you'll find you don't have to look that far. It's pretty easy to find things that are worthy of our appreciation, that are worthy of our gratitude. And when we start having that kind of outlook, when we start looking at the world through the lens of Hakaras HaTov, we're deserving of a parade. We deserve all the Chashuvei Ha'ir to come out and cheer us on, because we're changing the world. We're changing the way that people behave toward each other. And we're ultimately fulfilling the purpose of creation, Bishvil Bikurim, that are called Rishis, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants to give bracha so that we can appreciate that bracha.